Oh, let's turn to Matthew 27 and 50. And it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, a veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the top, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, and they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father God, because this centurion and his 100 soldiers seen and heard and saw all that happened, knew that Jesus, this man, was truly the Son of God. Father God, you've worked in our lives. We've seen you at work in our lives. We've seen you do miraculous things in our lives. You've delivered us from things. You've saved us from things. You've strengthened us to get through things. We can say like the centurion, truly, Jesus, this man, is the Son of God. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thought about it, and I had Mark. In Mark's version of that same verse, Mark says this. He says in Mark 15 and 39, he says, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Now, this centurion, so like the funeral director of that day, he kill you and bury you. A little different than what we see today. But he seen a whole lot of bodies. He didn't crucify a whole lot of folks. They estimated at that time in Israel, over 30,000. There was over 30,000 crucifixions. Okay? So this man was in charge and in charge of probably a whole lot of them. But he never seen some of the things he seen when Jesus gave up the ghost. What did he see? The Bible says he seen some things and heard some things. Okay? It says the graves were open. Let me go back a verse. He says, here's what he seen. He said, a veil of the temple was rent twain from top to bottom. Now, see, if we was gonna rip a curtain, and this was a magnificent thing. Okay? This was a huge thing. And this curtain protected folks from getting to the holies of holy. It was symbolic of God being separated from man and man having to pray through the priests and high priests of that day. So when God rent it, he rent it from the top to the bottom. Somebody know the question, who did it? Okay, so he seen that. What else did he see? Okay. He seen the earth did quake. Now, I had that one movie. I don't know how many people got it. But after Jesus died on the cross, there's a great earthquake. So folks lost. There was lives lost. And when you have a great earthquake in that time, everything was built out of cement and concrete. And stuff started tumbling down. There was a lot going on. And it said the rocks rent, meaning they split and broke. And the Bible says, and the graves were open. Yeah. How about that? The graves were open. What's that a picture of? There's a picture of when Jesus died. He died for the sins of the world. Folks, when Jesus died and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, guess what happened? Our graves, the graves that we were living in, was open. Okay? The graves that we once lived in, when we accepted Jesus Christ, we were free from the grave of sin. And the bodies of the saints, how about that? Which slept, arose. I like that term, arose. Okay? It's a picture of the resurrection. The bodies of the saints, not the ants. See, the word of God is specific, and we don't like it. This is why people have trouble with it. Okay, I heard Claire this morning talking about, you know, the playbook. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to accept. Okay? It's not hard to understand. It's hard to accept. No, it's not hard to accept. It's impossible to accept. Okay? Why? Why do you say it's impossible for why? What's my verse? 289. For grace are you saved? It through faith. Okay? It's for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works lest any man suppose. You can't believe the Bible without faith. See, this is why we say it all the time. Satan wants your faith. If Satan can get a hold of your faith, he got you. Why? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to be saved. That's really what it says. Without faith, it's impossible to accept God and the word of God and the truths of God's word. We'll wrestle with it. We'll grapple with it. We hear people all the time, you can't believe that. You can't believe that. There was a time I was just like you. I believe it all now. I believe it all. Okay? You mean to tell me you stupid enough to believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and spit up and stayed in the whale's belly for 3 days and spit up on him? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And when I get to heaven, I want to see the sailors.
Amen.
Okay? See, that's how much I believe it. And you see, and it's all kind of stuff. You believe that Jesus rose up, you know, Lazarus from the grave and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of things that's impossible for our carnal minds to believe. It's impossible. And this centurion seen it and heard it. And look what he says. Truly, this was the Son of God. How about that? How about that? I just like talking about Jesus. I just want to talk about Jesus. We get caught up in, you know, I hear a lot of sermons, and I want to talk about Jesus, who he was, and why was this man? And I went through the this man's in the Bible, this man in the Bible, and Jesus was this man. And when you hear that this man, he was like no other man. Okay? You hear husbands and wife. I'll just take my own wife for her. She said, this is my husband. Okay? I ain't nobody else's husband. I'm her husband. And she can say, this is my husband. This is specific to me. You know what she's talking about. When we talk about Jesus, this man, nobody else compares.
Amen.
Okay? Nobody else compares. Listen. He was without sin. Oh, that's a hard one. Somebody say, he wasn't without sin. Yes, he was. And they tried him and tried him and tried him. And you know what they came back with? Every time, I find no fault in him. Okay? Pilate was a governor. Okay? He was the Supreme Court of that day. He was the Supreme Court. There wasn't 5-4 decisions and none of that. He wasn't none of that. He was the Supreme Court, and what he couldn't negotiate, he do by brute force. That was it. He was my way or the highway. But he wasn't no dumb man. I don't want nobody in here to think Pilate was stupid or he was ignorant or he was a smart man. He was a smart man, and he questioned Jesus. The Word of God says in Luke 20:23, it says, now Pilate questioned and examined Jesus. Okay? In light of the accusations against him, and said this, I find no fault in this man from the highest court of the land. But hold your horses here. Jesus, or God in this sense, was in total control. God was in total control. And we ought to thank God that Pilate found no fault in Jesus. You know why that's true? Because if Pilate could have found fault in Jesus, okay, he couldn't have died for our sins. Okay? He couldn't have died for our sins if Pilate would have found fault in him. He had to die. Now Pilate here again, Matthew 27. He says this, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him. Now his wife might have been Pentecostal. Okay. Pilate was Baptist. His wife sent to him saying, look at Juanita back there. Have now nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Okay? See, Baptist folks, we got problems with dreams and visions and all that stuff. We just dogmatic about the scriptures, okay? Now here's Pilate being Baptist. Let me share this with you. He says this in Luke 23. Watch this now. Here's what Baptists do. And Pilate, when he called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse. See, we have this reputation as Baptist folks as being just, y'all this Bible. Y'all hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. You just Bible. You just believe that Bible. That's Pilate said, I've examined him. I've checked him out. I've checked out all your acquisitions. And I'm pretty sure, I believe Pilate studied this thing. He probably called in the scribes and the Pharisees and asked them questions about why y'all believe what y'all believe. Why you want me to kill this man? Well, they had to. He had to die. Why did he have to die, Pastor? Because it was already prophesied that he was going to die. He came to die. Psalms 41 and 9 say he was going to die that he was going to be betrayed by a friend. Okay? Isaiah 53 and 9 says that he was going to be buried in a borrowed tomb. Okay? Isaiah 53 and 12 says he's going to be numbered with the transgressors. See, he didn't. The Jews didn't kill him. And Pilate's decision, it really didn't have nothing to do with it. He came to do what? To die for our sins. And the only way that he could die for our sins is that he had to be sinless. He had to be faultless. And he was. Let's talk about some of the people that walk with him. Look at Peter. Here's Peter walk with Jesus. Some of you think, well, you know, he wasn't sinless. Y'all believe that Bible? Listen, he was sinless. Here's what Peter had to say. In 1 Peter 1 and 18. Watch this now. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. See? As silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now, how was we saved, Peter? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Okay? You wouldn't have to walk with me but 3.5 minutes. Okay? To realize that I couldn't die for nobody's sin. Okay? Peter walked with him 3.5 years. He could have walked with Jesus for 35 years. And he still wouldn't have found any fault in him. Okay, here's John. John walked with Jesus. John was the disciple that Jesus loved the most. So John would have known him probably better than anybody. He was always right next to Jesus' heart. And here's what John said, 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. How about that? Who can you say that about? Who can you say that about? Horizontally, who can you say that about? Who do you know that you can say that about? Nobody. Nobody. This here, here's Paul. Here's Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was faultless. See, he has to be faultless. He has to be faultless so he can die for us. And if you can go through the Bible and find where Jesus is faultless, you know, you got some people out, well, you know, him and Mary Magdalene had a thing going on and they had a baby out of wedlock and all that stuff. Well, you know what? If you can find that to be true, you can find his body.
Amen.
Okay? See, that's why they look so hard for his body. They had to find his body to disprove everything. If they couldn't disprove the resurrection, if they could disprove the resurrection, they can disprove the whole Bible. They look hard to find his body. They search diligently to find his body. And guess what they came up with? Let me see. All this forensics, and y'all watch all this stuff on TV today. They had the same stuff back then. They could have found that body if it was a body to be found. Okay? Here's Paul. Paul says this. And remember, Paul was one that would accuse him once before Paul was saved, would have accused him of being a sinner. Paul would accuse him of being whatever he had to do. Paul wanted to kill him if he could. And this is what Paul says now. For he hath made him to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us. And you read Paul, you can read Paul all day and night. You won't find Paul, me, myself, and I. You won't find Paul said, I, me. It's a us thing with Paul. He says, he hath made him to be sins for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of him, of God in him. Okay? This is Peter. Hey, look at Peter. I'm going to look at Peter. One more verse of Peter. Let me move on from this. Peter says this. You ever go? You ever meet anybody? Anybody in here ever just went to a car lot and bought a car, didn't want to plan on buying a car? Or you go to a store, you go somewhere, and you got anywhere they got a salesman. And you just went there and you wasn't planning on buying them, but you bought something. You bought something you didn't even need because that salesman convinced you that you needed it. Okay? You deserved it or you earned it or you need this. Somebody talk you into something. Okay? And dressed it all up like it was something good. That's called guile. That's called guile. That person has guile. You know, I always say this when my brother sell cars. He said, "Man, you come sell cars, man. I don't have that." Okay? Some things you know you can't do. I can't sell cars. Okay? I always tell people I can sell them when I'm driving now because I enjoy driving, but I can't sell cars for a living. Because I got to convince somebody they need a car when really they don't need one. Peter said this about Jesus. He says, 1 Peter 2:22. He says, who did no sin. No sin. And neither was guile found in his mouth. No trickery, no cunningness, no deceit, none of that. He was sinless. Okay? And his thoughts were sinless. That's what Peter's saying. How about that? Who can we say this about? Only this man. Only this man. Only this man. Know what else he was? What did I cover so far? I ain't gonna get through all these. He was without sin. The centurion said he was God in the flesh. Here's one. Now this one y'all know it's one of my pet peeves. Got people all that. Well, you know. You get a picture of Jesus, he always looked weak and like broke down and ready to fall over and die any minute, you know? That's not Jesus. Okay? The Bible says he was a powerful man. He was a powerful man. He had power over what? He had power over nature. He had power over disease. What's the third one? Lunatic from Gadara. Power over spirits. See, a lot of what we going through, a lot of what we see people going through, you know, it's spiritual. Okay? We you know what's the highest number one business now you ride around Youngstown? All these psychiatrists. I don't think nobody in here, but try to make an appointment with a psychiatrist. Just get on the phone and call Belmont Pine and say you wanna come in and see a psychiatrist. You'll get an appointment in October. You will. October, maybe even November. Why? Because the world is convinced everybody needs psychiatrists. Nobody needs Jesus, okay? Seriously. What a sad indictment. Riding through Youngstown, rolled over there by where C. Staples is at, and you got Frieda's, and you got the Metropolitan Church coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down. That great church, that beautiful church, and I've been in it, beautiful. At one time, that church was filled. And they had classes all up in the upper part of it. It's all classrooms. It was just a magnificent piece of work. And guess what? Frieda's was packed. Charlie Staple had people up on the balcony. It's full. And the church is coming down. It's being bulldozered. They bringing it down. They took all the windows out of it and everything, and then got a fence around it, and yesterday it was probably 70% down. What a sight. My mic's out? Or is it fail?
Yeah.
I'm all excited up here. But what a sight. You see the church is coming down. In the bars, and is prospering. And they offer her a lot of money for that bar. She said, I ain't moving. They offer the church a little bit of money. We'll take it. That's sad. Listen. Let's talk about Jesus' power. We talk about the powerful man. Because see, some people think, when you follow Jesus, you follow Jesus because you weak. No, Jesus is strong. We follow Jesus because he's strong.
Amen.
Here's Mark. Mark 8, you guys are familiar with this story. Here's Mark 8, 23. And it says, and when he entered into his ship, his disciples followed him. Amen. And we are his disciples. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Now, you've been there. Might not have been in that ship, but we've been in a ship. Okay? We've been in a storm. Now I'm echoing. We've been in a storm. Some of us in a storm now. Some of us know loved ones that's right now in the storms. Going through. And it says, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Well, we know they didn't perish. And he said unto them, watch this now. Now they're on the ship with Jesus. And spiritually, we're on the ship with Jesus. Think about this next time you got a situation and you put it in panic mode. You put it in panic mode and you start freaking out. You put it in panic mode. You start going through, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I'm scared of the devil. Remember the dying world watching you. The dying world, lost world, in need of a savior, watching this super Christian. You go to church every Sunday. You wear your hats. You wear your dresses. You wear your stockings. You sing all these praises. And then when adversity comes, you fall apart, see? And he rebuked him. Watch this now. And he said unto them, why are you fearful? Been there, done it now. I'm not sitting here. I'm talking about me. In my robes, in my collar. Okay? and all that, and still go through, you know. And these scriptures is here to remind all of us. I just say, God is using me to preach them. He said, why are you fearful? He said, Reverend Neil, why are you fearful? You do all that preaching, you do all that praying, you do all that Bible studying, why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now watch this. Here's our verse. And the men marveled. And I've been through some stuff, okay? And I marveled, okay? And I got that granddaughter back there that's 16 pounds almost now, born 1 pound, 10 ounces. And we was all going through. And I remember telling Karina all the time, Karina, God got this. She's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. Okay? I'm driving through Columbus and, you know, they I'm driving and Cindy, the car's in front of you. Stop it. I'm like, God got this. I said, God got this. I'm God's man. You think he gonna bring all us through here and let us die in a crash this day? They calm down. Tell me that later, Claire. I hear you. but the men marveled. The men marveled after he calmed the sea with a great calm. The men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? How about that? What manner of man is this? that even the winds and the sea obey him. Now that's a God worth following. Amen. When you tell me, listen, my God, even the winds and the sea obey my God. How about that? And we call him Lord and Savior. We call him Lord and Savior. Power over disease. I thought this was interesting. I'm going to talk about John the Baptist a little bit in a minute, but watch this now. Matthew 15, 31 or 29. Listen, and Jesus departed thence and came near the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down. Watch this now. And the great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, and maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. It's all there. It's all there. See, we get bogged down. We got all these issues. We got all this stuff. You know what? Jesus is still healing. How many of y'all feel better because of your relationship with Jesus? God makes us feel better. And we was in that crowd, lame. Remember back in the day? That was something they used to say when I was in high school. If you didn't fit in, they called you a what? Huh? No, they called you a lame. They called you a lame. They used to call me that all the time. I didn't know what it meant until I started reading the Bible. Oh, you called me a lame. You a lame, man. Because you weren't cool. That's what it meant. You weren't cool. You didn't smoke and get high and all that. And you a lame. Nerd L7. How about that? Remember that? L7? Put the L there in the 7. Make a square or something like that. L7. Blind. Spiritualize it. What were we before Jesus opened our eyes? We was blind. We was dumb. See, y'all ain't heard of, dumb ain't in the Bible. Dumb right there. We was dumb. Seriously. We was dumb. Think about it. Think about some of the stuff we did. That we survived it. Why did we survive? Why did we strung out? Seriously. We did some dumb stuff. Amen. Think about how we used to drive when we was 18, 19. Some of us still do. Drive crazy. Margaret laughing. I see. She got that guilty laugh. But we thought we was, you know, we thought we was invincible. We get them cars and we see at 19, you didn't think about dying. We thought we lived forever. We did whatever we wanted to do. That's why I say they in the military, they call you when you're young. They don't wait till you're 50 years old to enlist you. They get you at 18, 17, they get you because they know you a shoot, you be a Navy SEAL. 50 years old, you ain't trying to be no Navy SEAL. Okay? You trying to take your high blood pressure medication and all that now. But when you're 18, they want you in the, you know, Uncle Sam wants you. They want you to come in because they know you'll get in the helicopter. Try to get one of us in a helicopter now. Or go up to the Vian Airport and get one of them a cargo plane. Who getting one of them? Anybody here going to get one of them and go somewhere? See? We going first class if we can. Delta, United. We're not getting no cargo plane. But when we was young, the Bible said we were dumb. Maimed and many others, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. He's still healing. He's still healing. He's still healing. Who in here? Who in here don't have PTSD? Who in here don't? Who in here don't have some post-traumatic stress disorder? See, they make that as this is a as you know you it's, you just can't do nothing else. And I know it's degrees of it, and some of it is more severe than others. But let me tell y'all something: y'all don't even know half of it. Okay, I can sit here and there's things I don't even tell Cindy. I done seen working almost 30 years in corrections. I done seen some stuff. Okay, I done seen some stuff. Okay. I done walked in and had to cut folks down, try to hang themselves, and seeing folks get their heads cut off and all that. And it do. Makes you think. Okay? And I know y'all have seen some stuff. Been through some stuff. But you know what? Turn it over to the Lord. Lord, help me through this. So we go to the doctor first. Sometimes we need to go to Dr. Jesus first. Lord, give me strength. And then when the Lord gives you strength, then you go to the doctor. And you know what? Them physicians are good when they're in second place after you've seen Jesus. Okay? Now watch this now. He says, after he healed them all, the Bible says, verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered. How about that? They wondered. See, we see all that stuff going on in people's lives, and when they see all this stuff going on, people like how we even dealt with stuff. And people watch us and they wonder. And when they saw the dumb speak, that'd be me up here preaching. Somebody say, man, I remember he was dumb. See, the dumb speak and the maimed to be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. The God of Israel. Here's one of my favorite ones. I know I'm not trying not to be long, but here's one of my favorite ones. He deal with the spirits. When we see him deal with nature, we see him deal with disease. He's still dealing with disease. Okay? And then ADHD didn't just start 10 years ago. Okay? All of us in here. I know me and my brothers, all of us with ADHD. Okay, and my father had a solution for it, and he redirected that ADHD. I tell people, I know I'm ADHD. I know I'm ADHD. Okay, it's just energy. I call it energy, and you just gotta redirect it and do some stuff. Now you're dealing with the spirits. Here's a funny story. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, Mark 1:23. And he cried out, how am I? In the church. In the church, there was a man, most likely a member of the church, probably a tithe-paying member. And the Bible says he had an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now, it doesn't say what he cried out. But the demons start talking. And now the demon says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" How about that? "Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." No. I'm on the whole thing about Jesus being powerful, because we've seen him over nation, we've seen him over disease. And now, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold our peace." Jesus didn't want to hear no demon talk. Okay? We buy their CDs now. We download demon talk. But Jesus didn't want to hear no demon talk. He rebuked him and said, "Hold that peace and come out of him." Okay? All right? Now, listen to folks. Now, it ain't ever easy to be delivered. It ain't like what you see at church. They people fall over backwards and they deliver. No. If you want to get delivered, if you talking about somebody, you know somebody that's going to deliver. And this is what I always say. Be careful how you pray for your loved ones. Because we don't know. You don't know how God going to use what means God going to use to deliver them. Okay? But watch what happened to this one here. "And when the unclean spirit had torn him." Okay? Satan ain't leaving you without a fight. Okay? And then we had the other story about the father who had the demonic son, and the demon took him in the fire and took him in the water. What was the demon trying to do? Kill him. Kill him. Trying to destroy him. And it says the demon tore him and cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him. And he came out of him. How did he come out of him? Because we got this powerful Lord. Let me tell you something. He's still delivering. He's still delivering. And many of us, we won't admit it. We should. We was demon possessed. Oh, he said. You either demon possessed or you Holy Ghost possessed. There's only two possessions. I mean, you can't be, you either possessed by the Holy Spirit or you possessed by... I mean, I don't even want to say it. You either possessed by the Holy Spirit or you possessed by a demonic spirit. I'm in the middle. No. You either serve God or you serve the devil. You can't serve both. Let's keep going. That's not a popular subject. Because we got a lot of good people. A lot of good people that just don't go to church, just don't believe in God. They just don't care about the things of God. They don't believe in that Jesus, Holy Ghost, resurrection stuff. That don't make them bad. Oh, what'd it make them? Okay. You either buy into this stuff or you don't. You either believe it or you don't. And see, I don't think we fully believe it. Jesus. Yeah. Not only powerful, sinless, divine, as the centurions say, "This truly is the Son of God." He was loving. See, people, you get to the loving part. Yeah, he was loving. Jesus was loving. Ask me how I know. Because he saved me. See, he saved me. And when the rich young ruler came and he gave the rich young ruler everything that he needed to do, you go sell all you had. And the Bible says, and Jesus beholded him and he loved him. He loved him. Why? Because he knew he was going to tell him something that he didn't really want to hear. And Jesus loved him. The Bible says he loved him. The woman at the well, Jesus knew all about her. He knew all about her past. And guess what? He loved her. He still loved her. He still loved her. The 10 lepers, guess what? Loved them all. Loved them all. In a time where a man would never touch a leper, what did Jesus do? Touched him. Touched him with what? The touch of love. He was a loving man. Listen. I'm looking at a verse. Here's that one on John the Baptist. John the Baptist was locked up. Remember, he got locked up. Herodias, Herod, he was in the house, in the basement, wherever he was at, he was locked up. What did John ask his people to do? He said, go see if he the one. He said, go see if he the one. Now, John didn't want to die for nothing. And this is why it's so important that we hear the word of God. Because I don't want to sit here and fall blindly. I'm just going to church for 35 years and I get to the end of the road and somebody say, well, it was a big game. You done gave all your money to the church. It'd be like the one lady, she had tied it all them years, and then she went broke and she sued the church because she said she went asked the church for a loan off all the money she had gave. Listen, this is serious business. It's got to be serious business. And John said, I need to know. Now here's John the Baptist, okay? And the Bible says, go see Jesus. Prove him. Test him. Find out if he the real deal or not. Because if he's not, I'm going to bust up out of this jail. Really, that's what John was basically saying. Okay? Okay? Because here I'm called to be the forerunner of the Lord. If he ain't the Lord, then I'm in prison for the wrong thing. Let me out and I can do my business. But watch this now. He sent his disciples to Jesus. And watch the proofs that he gives. Jesus is going to give six proofs to send back to John. Now this is interesting. This might be my last point. Okay? And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard, I'm in Matthew 11 and 1. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now Jesus loved John the Baptist. Now the point is, he was a loving man. He was a loving man, okay? Jesus loved people. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Now watch this now. Here's the sixth. And the sixth one is the most important one as far as I'm concerned. The blind receive their sight. See, in that day, the blind meant nothing to the Pharisees and the scribes. They were just basically the scum of the earth. They couldn't produce. They couldn't provide any offerings or tithes or nothing. And the rich folk had nothing to do with them. Okay? And the lame walk, same thing. And the lepers are clean. All these people were considered scourges to society at that time. Lepers, blind, and lame are cleansed. And the deaf. Back in those days, you didn't have hearing aids. You couldn't employ no deaf person. What are you going to do? Scream all day and sign languages and different things? They were worthless to society. And he said, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. How about that? How about that? The dead are raised up. Whew. And the poor, here's the last one. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. How about that? What do you think John said? I'm good. Cut my head off. That's really what he said. He knew his work was done. See, his work was done. He was a forerunner. His job was to usher Jesus into the world. And when Jesus came in, what did he say? I must decrease and he must increase. Increase. And what Jesus said in verse 6, watch this. And blessed is he, talking about John the Baptist, and blessed is he who whosoever shall not be offended in me. Okay? One of the disciples would have went back and said, man, they got large crowds of people, man. People having a good time. They dancing. They miming. They dancing. They doing all kinds of stuff, man. John would have said, that ain't what he came for. That ain't what he came for. He's not a preacher-tainer. He's not an entertainer. See? The gospel is preached to them that are lost. He loved people. Watch what he says. And why not do all this? We got to be loving people. We got to be better at loving people. John 11, 5 says this. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I like that kind of stuff. I like little verses like that. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. How about that? Now, therefore, that the disciple that Jesus loved said unto Peter, talk about John. And then he gives this advice to all of us in the church. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. That Jesus gives a commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Can I do one more? I asked Margaret. Margaret said yes. Listen. He was wonderful. In Isaiah 53 said he was wonderful. What made it wonderful? Think of someone that you would say is wonderful. What makes that person wonderful? Think about anybody in your life that you would say, he or she just been wonderful. What is it about them that makes them wonderful? That you could probably call them and talk to them about anything. And you know if they tell you something, it's going to be sound. It's going to be out of love. That's what makes a person wonderful. And that's what made Jesus wonderful. Isaiah called him a wonderful what? Counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. Think about people in your life that's wonderful. You know, if you get it straight, and even if they give it to you straight, they're going to give it to you in a way that you can receive it. Someone said, let advice fall like snow. You know, if you get out there in a little snowstorm, unless it's just this cold fall on your face, you don't feel that snow hitting you. Next day you get in the house, your hat covered with snow. But it didn't beat you all up. You just take your hat off, shake it off. See? He was a wonderful counselor. Remember they went to arrest Jesus. The soldiers went to arrest Jesus. And they came back. They came back without him. And the captain said, where's Jesus at? And here's what they say. And the soldiers were sent to arrest Jesus. To arrest him, were so arrested by the manner of his utterance that they said this. Never a man spake like this. How about that? Never a man spake like this. These are people coming to arrest him. Got nightsticks and torches and billy clubs, and he talked to them so sweet, so loving, that they went back and said, never a man spake like this. Never a man spake like this. He say some stuff. Women say, blessed are they that mourn. How about that? You ever heard that before? You think you would have ever heard that if Jesus wouldn't have said it? You think any politician or any salesman or anybody you ever met would have said anything like that? Blessed are those who mourn. Who says love your enemies? Who says that? Jesus. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Well, that's all I have about Jesus. This man. And you know the good thing about him? He's never coming back to suffer again. He's never coming back to die on a cross. He did it once, and it's over. It's complete. What did he say on the cross? It's finished. Okay? Bible says this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, one, forever sat down at the right hand of God. One sacrifice. See, there's churches that sacrifice every week. Every Saturday, 6 o'clock, they sacrifice. They make a sacrifice. Jesus made one. And then he went back to heaven. One sacrifice. And that's the sacrifice of himself on Calvary. That's the sacrifice when he died on the cross for our sins. The Bible said he hung him high. They put the nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And guess what? Them three nails didn't hold him to the cross. There's a fourth nail. The one that fourth nail held him to the cross. Somebody say, well, I don't read in the Bible about a fourth nail. It's not in the Bible. I heard a person singing this song, and I thought about it. I said, the fourth nail. He said, he's singing, the fourth nail held him to the cross. He said that fourth nail was love. The love that he had for us held him to the cross. Not the two in his hands, not the one in his feet. The one in his heart. Because he had all power. He could have came down. But the nail that they put, that he had in his heart for his people, held him to the cross. Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being God and being divine and being faultless and being powerful, being loving. We thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Father God, for quickening us, waking us up when we was dumb and lame and maimed and blind and dead. You came into our lives and shook us. Now we ask you for courage, for strength to walk out into a dark world, to walk out to an angry world, a hostile world, a world that hates Jesus and hates all those that love him. And give us courage to walk and stand and profess Jesus Christ and testify that he truly is, like the centurion said, truly is the Son of God. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well.